You're listening to the most dangerous show in Texas, Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn. Don't call it a comeback.
Wherever you are, however you may be listening, it is now Fight Night. Welcome to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn. I'm your host, Eddie Cross. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at EddieExperience1E in the middle. And the man with the hair is gone. But this week, the man with the best hair in the room, Mr. Chad Hastings, Austin's favorite snake killer.
What's up?
How's it going?
Going good, man.
I like your shirt.
I never thought about that I would be the best hair in the room, but you're right.
You are the best hair in the room.
I do have a little bit more hair than you have.
This room here right now today in this time period.
I cannot compete with Jordan. We had Jordan on our show a week or so ago talking about that Strike League event, and he was live on the scene showing the people his hair. It is impressive, but I'll be trying to fill in tonight. I can't fill in the hair part. I'll try to fill in the talking part.
I think the talking and the little less of an ego will do just fine.
Okay. I definitely don't have a ton of ego.
He's going to throw something at me for that.
I don't bring a ton of ego. That may be helpful.
All right, Chad, before we get going, tell us what's going on this weekend. It's Easter weekend at UT?
Easter weekend. So you got the baseball team kicking back the series. They go Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Don't play on Easter Sunday. They're at Waco for the Baylor series. They have all three of those games on the horn. But then also the big deal is, of course, the spring game coming up on Saturday afternoon. So you can still do all your Easter Sunday stuff and still catch the Longhorns in the spring game. So head on out there, 1:00 kickoff. But if you can't get out there, maybe you've got some things to do, we will have the game for you right here on the horn. So check out the horn, 12:45 pregame, and 1:00 is the kick time. Craig Way, Roger Wallace, Quan Cosby, who will call the games for you all season long on the horn, will have the spring game for you.
So I hear from a little birdie that UT's going to go full run and shoot because there's no running backs left.
Right. Yeah.
Is that right?
Running backs get a little banged up. I don't know that we'll learn a ton about the running back position, but we'll see what the defense looks like under Coach Orlando, and I think everybody's focusing in on those quarterbacks. What does Bouchel look like in this system? And then Sam Ellinger, the youngster from Westlake, has been impressing the coaches, so let's see what he looks like.
Well, ironically, the offense is a part I'm not that worried about because we finally have a system to recruit to and coach to, as opposed to changing it every year depending on the personnel.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to go into it. And also, you just hope. I was raised around defensive football and kind of leaned that way. But you always kind of hope in a spring game your defense looks pretty good to start with. And a lot of times that's what coaches will tell you. Oh, defense is always ahead of offense this time of year.
Yeah.
If I was a Texas fan, I would want to see some of that. I'd want to see some good defense. You don't want to see a total shutdown because it's a spring game. You got to see some balance. But I'd be focused on the defense, wanting to see that defense getting after people. Texas D-line is one of their big question marks.
And hopefully we don't see any shenanigans like we saw this past weekend, UFC 210.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I've never seen anything like this.
Dude, there are four. When you give me four wacky stories and we almost didn't let her fight because of breast implants is the most normal of the four? My God. It's amazing.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Man,
I can't wait for Super Troopers 2 to come out. But yeah, there were so many weird things going on. I, just made a list just off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
Implants.
Yes.
Daniel Cormier and Towelgate.
Still haven't seen it, but I heard it was bad.
It's so obvious.
Terrible.
I mean, there's like a 2-inch dip in the towel.
I didn't know this was an old boxing trick, but the idea that he just literally got naked, they put the towel around him because obviously we don't want to see all his business,
right.
But then that you literally lean yourself on the towel and counterweight yourself, old boxing trick, and that's how he moved that 1.2 pounds. Unbelievable. This guy's a champion. He's got the belt. He's defended this belt. The idea that he almost, I mean, you talk about a division that's cursed, man. This 205 division with all the stuff with John Jones and now this, where Cormier's had an injury before, and he came this close to missing that fight.
If someone at the commission had just looked up, you know, just look up, see the guy leaning on the towel.
Right.
It's over. He loses the belt right there.
Yeah. Right. The fight wouldn't have been for the belt, and I don't know if they take
No, he would have been stripped.
They take it. They strip the belt for that?
Yeah.
Wow. It's nuts, man. That's crazy to happen to the champion in the main fight.
Exactly, and which is one of the reasons I picked against him, knowing he's getting older, he's had some injuries, you know, it's tougher to make weight, and I was almost right. Except then we find out, what, is Rumble throwing the fight? What is going on with this?
Yeah, what you didn't realize was that Anthony Rumble Johnson called up Betch Kohea before the fight and said, Betch, going into a title fight, going to try to get the belt, what should I be thinking? And Betch said, do exactly what everyone thinks you shouldn't do. So where Betch, she's, well, I'd rush Ronda Rousey, and I thought it worked out really well for me for that 14 seconds. So he just decided, well, I'm going to throw two or three punches, and when I get a little bit tired, I'm just going to hug Daniel Cormier and see if we can wrestle a little bit.
I'm going to try to wrestle the best wrestler in MMA.
Just awful.
I mean, you see, have you heard his coaches?
No.
They are just literally flabbergasted in the corner, yelling at him, disengage, let go.
Yeah.
Why are you wrestling? Stop it. He gets to the corner between rounds. They're like, what are you doing? He doesn't even answer them.
They were yelling what I was yelling. Get out, move, yeah. Go, push off, do something.
What are you? Literally throws one kick, breaks Cormier's nose, and decides to wrestle again.
Right. It was amazing. Look, if he went into the fight knowing it was his last fight, clearly that was in his head. It clouded his head, and it messed with things. The good news was I didn't have to watch 4 to 5 rounds of it this time. It was dominating the first time these guys fought, and now it was only 2 rounds. The good news for Dana is he doesn't have to worry about the thought of, well, gee, what do I do if Rumble ever deserves to fight Daniel again? Because those two shouldn't be in the same building again, much less fight again. That was if that's how Rumble's going to deal with it, got to move on. And then Daniel Cormier was Daniel Cormier afterwards.
And I don't know it for a fact. I just know that Rumble didn't want to win that fight. He threw the fight. Can you think of any other explanation?
He was just done.
Yeah, he didn't want it.
Yeah, I mean,
he would throw a punch or a swing, you know, just in case. But
I guess there's a school of thought of once you get in the cage and things start happening, your mind can go wild and you think weird things or whatever. But I think it got to him. As far as did he literally get in there thinking, I'm losing on purpose? I don't know. I don't know if I go that far. But I see what you're saying. It ended up weird.
He knew he wasn't going to defend it.
Right.
He already knew he was going to retire. He's got something committed. He said he committed to it. Not that he is trying to go into something else. Not that he wants to do something else. He's like, I gave a commitment.
Do we know what it is? He said it's not MMA. But
no. His coach said it has something to do with football. So I heard he might become a strength coach.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Some people think he's actually going to play football. I'm like, the dude's 33 already.
Now remind me, are you pro or anti Daniel Cormier? You like DC?
I did, until he showed that he was as much of a hypocrite as he was calling John Jones.
Okay, because I've never really liked DC overall, and I think after the fight, he just gave you more of either you liked him more or you didn't like him more.
Yeah.
And, you know, to me, the one thing I'll give him credit for, he knows that his belt has a legitimacy clause in it.
Yes.
He knows it. He knows he has to beat John. But then to do the whole thing where he's referencing Jones, but then Rogan brings him up and he says, what do you mean? He's not eligible, is he? He's not eligible.
Right.
So they kind of went through that mess.
Like, I compared him to the kid who's only starting on the football team because the real star flunked out.
Right.
It's like, you can talk trash, but you know as soon as that guy comes back, you're riding the pine.
Yeah, he knows it. I like the look on John's face right now. By the way, speaking of weird things, how about the guy sitting right next to John Jones? Did you catch that?
I don't remember at all.
Rashad Evans.
Oh, yes, that's right.
After all their drama
and buddy
all
again.
Their soap opera and the fight. You talk about a fight that didn't need to have a second version.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what a domination that was. And they're sitting there smiling. And I had this weird wave of, like, happiness come over me as a John Jones fan. I thought, maybe this is good news. Maybe that's a good thing. Burying hatchets.
That
right?
is a good thing. Yeah,
getting rid of grudges, maybe. Can John just have a normal life? Get back in the cage, and I don't know that it's totally fair that he gets to fight for the belt right away.
It's not.
I think maybe they should work it back in a little bit, but the division is so bizarre now. That may be what needs to happen. So I hope they get in there at some point. I'm not in love with what's going on at 205 right now. There's multiple divisions that are frustrating me, and right now, Eddie, as a UFC fan, I'm feeling that spread out anxiety that I've talked about with plenty of people. There's too many fights. They're spreading them too far out. Mighty Mouse is defending his belt this weekend. Mm-hmm. Why couldn't that have been on the pay-per-view? The Rose Namajunas fight, why couldn't that have been on the pay-per-view? They're spreading things too far out
marketing.
To feed the free cards, mm-hmm. and I think we're getting pay-per-views. I mean, we came within one breast implant judgment of that fight being off the card. That was actually a decent fight.
It was a good fight, yeah.
Well, half of it was. Calvillo. I like her.
She's good.
Really, really
Apparently
good.
She beats up Paige all the time in practice.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That was a really nice submission. So I'm a little frustrated on that angle of it, but yeah, weird, weird stuff. And we haven't even talked about the Weidman fight.
Oh, it's coming.
Oh, my God.
Holy crap.
I'm still trying to understand that ruling.
Well, here. Let's get into it.
All right.
So we just saw today that the New York State Athletic Commission ruled that not only is replay legal, it's encouraged.
Okay, because during the fight, they said,
in order to meet its obligation to render correct determinations and act in the best interest of the sport. So the people who were saying during the fight that replay is not allowed,
uh-huh.
apparently they were wrong.
Okay, so that's wrong. So when Dan Mergliotta went after replay, either he looked at it or someone looked at
he
it and said to
Big
him.
Big John McCarthy.
Big John looked at it on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then Big John said to him, Dan, it was clean.
Yes.
So when that so that's all good under New York rules.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm understanding is it seems like the only thing that needs to change here is New York doesn't have a restart clause, so that if that fight had happened in Austin, Vegas, Brazil, or Peru, it would have restarted.
Well, here's the thing. Chris Weidman was either too hurt or playing too hurt for the doctors to continue the fight.
Did the doctor stop it?
Yeah. The doctor stopped it. Apparently, Chris Weidman, when they asked him what day or month it was, he answered February. Now, I don't care if you're asking about the day or the month. That's way wrong.
Now, that was the doctor asking, not the corner asked.
Right.
Okay.
And you can hear there's audio of the corner saying, oh, God, he doesn't know what day it is.
Okay.
That's from Matt Serra with his Brooklyn accent. You can't miss it.
So then do you think if they'd gotten in there and determined he could fight?
I think it would have continued.
Because the ultimate thing I heard was that the New York rule is they don't have a restart clause. So once it was determined to be a clean hit, Dan Mergliotta had stopped the fight. He could have stopped it for any number of reasons, but in their mind, when a fight is stopped, it's just stopped. It's done.
Well, I hadn't heard about the restart clause, but because he didn't stop it because of injury. He stopped it because of what he thought was a foul. So if they were stopping it for that reason, then they would have just given it to Weidman anyway, right? There's no reason to stop it for a TKO. They called it a TKO.
Right.
There's no reason to stop it for that if you think the guy is fine and can continue.
Yeah, that was my it got so bizarre because initially it was he thought it was illegal and he was going to give him the 5 minutes to recover.
And apparently there's no 5-minute rule.
There's no 5-minute rule on an illegal knee.
Right.
Okay. And then he went over to Musasi he basically said to Musasi, I'm not taking a point. Be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful. And I think he may have said, look, I think it was legal. You were close, though. It was close. Be careful. Not taking the point. So my understanding after this New York rule, and I hope they just clarify this. The other thing is nobody from the New York Commission was there for post-fight to explain this all to us.
Oh, that's would you?
Another yeah, part.
I wouldn't be there either.
Well, at some point, somebody needed to step up and try to explain that. You're a new state in this discussion, and there have only been a couple cards so far, so we need to iron these things out. So they didn't really discuss it. My interpretation of what I've heard of it and is that because they don't have a restart clause, that once he determined it was clean, the fight was just over. It couldn't be restarted, and because he stopped it on a strike from Musasi, it would be like he had stopped it on a submission. It would be like he'd stopped it on punches, strikes, kicks, anything, and the fight just ends, and it has to be a TKO.
I hadn't heard that part. But I do know.
But I hadn't heard that.
The doctors ruled him unfit to continue.
Okay.
And since it happened on strikes from Musasi, and all of a sudden, those knees weren't illegal, so he can't continue because of legal blows.
So now
it's a TKO.
So now he has to lose, and it's got to be a TKO.
But then all of a sudden, as soon as they say that, Weidman's like, I can go.
Right.
So
they need to clarify a lot of those things. The doctors need to clarify the medical side. They need to clarify the New York side of it. You can't have a card, especially a co-main in New York, because I think they were setting that fight up to be the winner of that fight was going to get the winner of the Bisping fight, which, by the way, don't even get me started on the 185 group right now and what they're doing with that belt. But
should be Romero.
But now Now, and then Musasi's left staring at the crowd, knowing why they're booing, knowing that they're upset, and he has to sort of, and that gut reaction was, yeah, look, if you want to rematch, we rematch. I get it. I hate this. I wanted to keep fighting. You have to figure out a way to continue that fight. And if Chris Weidman, if ultimately Chris Weidman, and maybe he just, it was like a flash situation, knockout, where he said the wrong month, and then 2 minutes later or a minute later, he was fine and thought he was okay. I guess that could happen.
It could.
But if he jaked it at all.
Which a lot of people think he may have.
That needs to be looked at.
Being on a two-fight losing streak, all of a sudden you've got a chance to get the win. When you're about, he was really probably about to go out in that position that he was in, the blows that he took.
I thought he won the first round. He was losing the second.
Yeah. And those were pretty good knees to the head.
The other thing is, let's say they'd continued the fight. If you were Dan Mergliotta, would you have put him back in that position?
I think you have to.
You can let him, but then the first thing he does is throw another knee. He'd have hit him with three of them.
Hell yeah.
In quick succession. I think I might have just let him stand up.
I think you might have to go with like a Chris Jericho code breaker.
I just stand him up. I don't know if I'd bend him over again like that. That might have been a little too dangerous.
Such a weird night. Ugh. I mean, I've never seen anything like that.
That was bizarre.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so weird.
Man. And that doesn't even bring into account Bellator earlier in the day from Italy. And the guy that I was most worried about, Melvin Manhoff, who's taken some hellacious knockouts in the last couple of years, got his head kicked into oblivion.
I did not see the Bellator. I didn't know there was a Bellator card.
There was a Bellator. It was in the middle of the day because it was from, I think, Torino, Italy.
Oh, okay.
And they had the middleweight championship.
Okay.
A rematch from what was the worst title fight until Wonderboy Woodley.
I'll take your word for it.
But it was much better this time.
Saw Wonderboy Woodley. I can't imagine anything close to that.
It was close. And then the wrong person won that one, too.
Oh, God.
But this time, right head kick, no doubt. And Melvin Manhoff, please, if you're listening, I know you're not, you should retire. It scares me. All right. Well, you know what? That's enough of a recap for that.
All right.
If you don't like wrestling, you might want to skip ahead. We're going to nerd out here for a minute. We'll be right back. That, ladies and gentlemen, the music of one Shinsuke Nakamura, new SmackDown superstar, just brought up from NXT, the King of Strong Style, former NXT champion, one of the best strikers in the game. As much as I like him, I gotta be honest, I haven't watched much of NXT.
I have not either.
But I have seen a couple of the takeovers. That dude can go.
I love the intro.
It's a little long.
It's long, but if it's like... A lot of these, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, a lot of these NXT intros are like Undertaker schlong.
Yeah.
I'm like, can we get down to the ring and stop the damn dancing, Naomi?
That live one they did with the fiddle player, that was cool. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And then he didn't fight.
Right, he didn't even do anything. Right, just come out to say hello. That's just pretty good.
No, but this week, after WrestleMania, we had the Superstar Shake-Up.
Nice.
And, you know, some of them you could kind of see coming. Like Charlotte going to SmackDown. I thought it might have been Sasha Banks, but I knew we had seen enough of Charlotte and Sasha that one of them had to go.
I guess so. And also they need, you need Charlotte to go lift up the kind of the other side of the women's division. I love watching Charlotte work, and she makes anybody she's in there with better. So
now, I was hoping to see her and Alexa Bliss because I love me some Alexa Bliss.
Yeah, I was hoping for the same thing.
But having her on the same side as Nia Jax, that's just not right.
Now, where did Nia end up?
She's still on Raw.
She's still at Raw. Okay.
Yeah, and she obliterated a whole ring full of women.
That's right. Right. Yeah. I like Nia Jax. She should never speak, though. She should not speak. She's so mean looking.
Yeah.
She should just stare. Just stare. Like early Roman Reigns.
They're like, look at my pretty eyes and fear me.
Early Roman Reigns, man. Don't talk. Just let your intimidation be your intimidation.
Yeah.
I'm not saying she's bad on the mic. I just think it doesn't add to it, you know?
And her voice doesn't really fit her.
Yeah, right.
The voice is very high.
Voice a little high.
Yeah.
Right. If she had like a little more of a deeper voice.
Yeah, she's got a girly voice for a girl.
She's impressive. She can move. She can move for her size.
Yes, she can.
I'm glad she's okay after WrestleMania. They had one move there where the three of them were trying to flip
her
over.
Oh, dropped her on her head.
I thought they had dropped her on her neck. I thought it was
I'm like,
bad.
Oh, my God, they just killed Nia Jax.
I thought it was bad. I thought it was like stone cold and you know, Owen Hart bad, where it was going to affect her the rest of her life. But thankfully, she was all right.
Yeah. And then let's see. Who else did they move? Oh, the New Day moves to SmackDown.
Okay.
Kind of saw that coming after the Revival literally, like, killed them.
So all three move.
All three, as far as I know.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. Kofi's got, I guess, recovering from an ankle injury.
Okay.
So they kind of wrote him out. Let's see, what else? The IC and U.S. champion switch sides.
Yes, that's right. So Dean is now back at Raw.
Mm-hmm. But apparently the U.S. champion, the belt switches to SmackDown. So there's a rematch between Owens and Jericho at Payback.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever holds the belt after that moves to SmackDown.
Interesting.
So you could actually see Owens go back to Raw, which would be weird after seeing him show up on SmackDown. So place your money on Kevin Owens to retain the U.S. title.
Right. And Jericho, for the moment, is on Raw.
Yes.
Okay.
And apparently, according to, what's his name? Jordan.
Yeah.
That guy that sits over there, you don't really.
Yes.
Jericho's going on tour soon.
Oh, with Fozzy?
So you can't expect much out of him.
Gotcha.
Which I wish I'd have known before I made my picks for WrestleMania. I wouldn't have picked him to win the title.
And Cena's taking time off, is that right?
Yeah, apparently he's making another movie or something.
But he's back on Raw.
As far as I know.
He came out on Raw,
no.
Is that right?
No, as far as I know, they haven't moved.
Oh, no.
Miz and Maryse came out dressed as Cena.
There you go. Gotcha.
They got you, Chad.
They did get me. You're right. They got me just like they got Dean Ambrose.
Yeah. See, Bray Wyatt moves to Raw. So I guess the feud with Randy Orton is over after Payback?
I think that's probably right. Yeah, so Randy has that belt.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, they swapped announcers. So David Otunga goes to Raw, and Byron Saxton moves to SmackDown.
Byron Saxton's getting a lot of heat. It feels like the other announcers don't love him, and he doesn't have that. He doesn't seem like he has the ability to kind of play the game, if you know what I mean. Like Corey Graves, that's his name, right?
The other guy.
Corey Graves plays the sort of the heel analyst pretty good.
Yeah.
Byron's got to keep up. You know, Byron's got to keep up and be that positive guy. I don't think he's done a tremendous job.
Yeah, he starts off positive, and then Corey does something mean. And there's really no bounce back.
Right, it backs him off.
Yeah. It almost makes Corey Graves seem more like a bully.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of want to, but there should be a little more back and forth. But then you got, what's his name in the middle?
Cole.
Yes, Michael Cole.
Right. I dig Graves, though. I think Graves does a good job.
Yeah.
So then I read a story today that what's his name?
Mauro Ranallo?
He's gone?
You know what? Yeah.
He's done. Wait. Something's going on where JBL did something to him or said something about him or something.
Man, I haven't caught up with that.
And I hadn't either. I hadn't heard the story, but apparently he did something, said something, and JBL ran him out of the business, and his contract's about to be up, and he's going to be gone or whatever. I read this quick little blurb today, weird wrestling rumor thing. I'm like, okay, whatever.
That explains the preponderance of three-man teams.
Yeah, they like that.
I don't like it as much.
Yeah, it depends. Depends on the three men.
Well, true.
Yeah, it depends on the three. There's not a group right now that I'm just absolutely in love with, but I will say Corey Graves is growing on me.
Yeah. And now, the groups I am in love with, the Usos and the Hardys.
Are you in love with the Usos?
I really like them.
Really?
A lot more. Well, who else do you like on SmackDown as far as a tag team? American Alpha's boring as hell.
I'm with you on the Hardys. Don't get me wrong.
Have you caught up with the whole Broken Hardy saga?
Not specifically. I'm trying to catch up on that.
Go to YouTube and just look up the Broken Hardys, and you can just kind of follow the timeline.
Yeah.
And what Matt Hardy did was pure genius.
That's what I hear.
I mean, he took a character that no one really cared about from even his time before in the WWE. Matt Hardy was just the other guy with Jeff.
Right.
And now he's the guy that I can't wait for them to hand the microphone to.
Yeah. See, I need to get into all this stuff, because if he's going to continue it in WWE, I need to be a little more familiar. I was really glad to see him at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I love watching him work. I've said no one that's ever done that can stand on top of a structure and make me more excited than Jeff Hardy. Nobody.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when he's on top of a ladder and I know he's about to jump, I just get so into it.
And somehow he's not dead yet.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
And I loved the moment where he slightly under-rotated that big move off the ladder.
Oh.
Everything hit Cesaro, and Sheamus just did that slow roll off the other side of the ladder, like, well, I guess I better fall here.
I caught a heel to the ribs.
Half of it broke, the other half didn't, but no, it was great to see them, so I like the Hardys end up on SmackDown?
No, the Hardys are still on Raw.
They're on Raw, okay.
And the Usos are still on SmackDown, but I just want the Hardys to go full broken and just give Matt Hardy a microphone and let him do his weird little promos because they're so weird and funny.
What I'm hearing is that WWE is a little bit uncomfortable with letting him go all the way there. Like
right.
They're going to let him play with it a little bit. They're going to let him mess with it a little bit, but I don't know how far they're going to let him go.
I know the new owners of TNA are threatening lawsuits because they claim that they came up with the gimmick.
Right.
They did not. But I really doubt the WWE would be afraid of a lawsuit from TNA.
I would think so.
Yeah. So I can understand Ring of Honor not letting him do it.
Right.
But
yeah.
WWE, I'm like, no. But you've got enough time to have me listen to Emma and Dana Brooks.
Oh, yeah.
Give the microphone to Matt Hardy.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, the Usos, I really like the way that they've gone from their they almost did like The Rock. Almost went from the happy, cheery guys in bright colors to just mean and surly and a little thuggish.
They've gone heel?
Yeah.
Okay. That could work.
They come out in, you know, hoodies and jeans and sneakers.
Because they have felt a little Rocky Maivia lately.
Yeah.
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 Even worse than that. I mean, I actually kind of liked Rocky Maivia in the beginning.
You know, I still to this day don't remember actually seeing him on TV until he came back as The Rock.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I remember those very early
days.
That's
how unmemorable he was.
But I like that move for the Usos. And yeah. Now, who knows, maybe that'll influence the biggest thing they've got going on right now.
Yeah, would help if they'd let them on WrestleMania.
Yeah. Well, that would be, that'd be it too. But and then Roman Reigns still ends up on Raw?
Yes.
What do you do with the Roman Reigns problem if you're Hunter?
Oh, man. I think they kind of took care of the problem for a little bit.
How?
Did you see Raw?
Yes.
You remember Braun Strowman?
You think they're just going to beat him out of it like this because he's hurt? Or do you think that's going to make the crowd like him? Because the crowd was cheering.
The crowd's like all over
it.
Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman's never been higher.
Right. They loved him.
So somehow Roman's got to come back almost like The Rock saying, you cheered when I got hurt. Screw you guys. And just kind of wreck the world.
I think there's two.
He needs to be full on heel.
I think there's two problems with that. Actually,
what's that?
Three.
Oh,
there's a three-prong problem. Problem one, he's not great on the mic. Problem two, he is limited in the ring. And problem three, and maybe this is the most important problem, I think he really is bothered by the booze. I can see it. I can see it in his face.
Now I understand number three, but one and two, I don't think they're that big of problems. As the bad guy, you don't have to talk. Look at Neville. You just come in, you wreck shop.
Okay, but that's how The Rock got over. The way The Rock convinced the fans, what you call me good or bad, but you're going to like me, is the mic skills. Roman just doesn't have it.
He's full-on monster heel. Think Mark Henry when he was in the House of Pain, when he was just like breaking everyone. You don't have to talk.
Okay, but you
Braun Strowman before this.
Right, but you can't be the main guy and be that. That can't run the company. They are pushing him to the very tip-top of this company and saying, whether you like it or not, fans, this is the guy. And I just think fans are seeing through it.
They can get him a mouthpiece.
That may be an idea.
Yeah.
But you've still got my second problem. In the ring, he's limited. He's Goldberg 2.0. He's a spear. He's a Superman punch. He's clunky. He's with all the big men we've seen through the years and the evolution of these guys that we've seen, there's no evolution. There's no change. Dean Ambrose gives us shows. Seth Rollins is giving us shows. He's the third part of that Shield group that's just kind of, he hasn't developed.
Yeah, well,
he's just there.
Neither is John Cena.
Oh, I disagree. The AJ Styles Cena stuff, I'd watch them 10 matches in a row, Eddie, with the stuff Cena started doing when he got in there with AJ.
But like you said, just started.
And realize, okay, but at least it's there.
Finally.
And there's been some development. Yeah. I know he used to be considered clunky.
Yeah, exactly.
But I thought the AJ Styles matches were great. John absolutely has the mic skills.
Yeah.
And I think he's grown to understand what's going on, and he kind of soaks up those boos and says, man, I don't care. I am who I am, and it's gonna be. And I don't think Roman's gotten that in his head yet.
But hey, Triple H had four moves, and they all involved his knees.
Okay.
And they tried to build him as like a great technical wrestler.
Triple H is a great worker, though.
He's a great worker.
Great worker, which, puts on a great show,
which Roman can do. Now, like I said, he's not the most agile, but he gets some good air and a Superman punch.
He does.
I can't believe I'm standing here defending Roman Reigns.
I know.
I'm just saying.
They got a problem here. And night after WrestleMania on Raw.
Oh, yeah.
The thought process is always, well, the fans are crazy. They'll chant and they'll just get a little crazy that night. Eddie, they went beyond a little crazy.
Oh, yeah, and I wish they would have stopped saying that. They even did on SmackDown.
They specifically chanted the F word at him. Yes, I don't mean they chanted F. I mean they chanted the F word at him in multiple chants. That's not just playful Raw after WrestleMania.
Right.
That is, we are upset that it's this guy that you decide.
That's how we can pull it off.
You decided to pick this guy to retire The Undertaker, and the next night we're supposed to love him? Oh, no. Hell no. We're not doing it. We are going to attack him, and they wouldn't let him go. And for 20 minutes, he dealt with it, and all he had to say at the end of it was, "It's my yard now," and dropped the mic and walked out. I'm sorry, dude, that's not enough. You need to take control of this moment, and he can't do it.
Well, I don't think anyone could have with that crowd.
I don't know if he can or if he wants to, if he understands what's going on. I think they've got a massive problem right now with this Roman thing.
I am hoping that they're going to continue it the way that I said, and he comes back like full-on heel. You know, you cheered when I was injured.
I'd love it.
Screw you all. That's what I hope.
I'd love it.
But in the back of my mind, I'm afraid they're going to try and make him the sympathetic baby face. That will just kill it all.
Here's what I've heard. We all know why Cena can't make the move. We all know why Cena could never be a heel because of the sales stuff.
The PR stuff.
The PR stuff, the Make-A-Wish Foundation stuff. I'm hearing that the amount of Roman Reigns stuff they are selling to kids is so tremendous.
Really?
That the amount of people standing in line for him at autograph sessions and stuff, especially the younger folks, they just can't move away from it.
Like they're
selling so much of those chest plates and the armbands and stuff that they just they're seeing is the dollar signs, and they're thinking to themselves, if we turn this guy heel, what are the kids gonna do? Like, I think that at least that I'm hearing that's an element of it. I'm with you. I would love to see them figure out a way to just make him bad or get him a mouthpiece. That's another good idea. Yeah.
I'd say make him a Heyman guy, but you can't have him and Brock together.
No, that wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah. But Nia Jax, she should be a Heyman girl.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, that would be good, because you know Paul Heyman could figure out a great way to say, "Nia Jax," and the crowd would love it.
Yeah.
It'd be great.
Exactly. Let's see. Who else moved over? Anyone of consequence? They swapped Kalisto and Sin Cara.
Well, there you go.
I mean, like,
the fact that I didn't even notice Yeah, you could swap them out.
Rusev and Lana are moving to SmackDown.
Oh, okay, that's a little.
But somehow,
little
for some sad. Reason, they were announced separately.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Lana had this like almost burlesque show on a chair, a little video package that they showed.
Hmm.
Like 20, 30 minutes after they talked about Rusev.
Maybe they're gonna separate him a little bit.
Maybe, but he kind of needs that.
Yeah, he does. He absolutely does.
Just like Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's good for him in that way, because he's much more interesting when he's not speaking.
Yeah.
Just be intimidating, because he is. He's such an intimidating presence, and she gets to soften that up.
Maybe. Okay, I'm booking this right now.
Yes.
This is what they should do. Roman Reigns is out with what should be at least written into as very severe injuries.
A Strowman injury.
Yes. Injury. Oh, man. The thing where he picked up the ambulance. I mean, like, come on.
Yeah, it was a little far.
Yeah.
It was a little far. Vince's limo exploding thought that was a little over the top.
I was kind of waiting on him to hop in the front and say, "Where to, Stephanie?"
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
But he's out long enough for Brock's, maybe his contract to run out and lose the belt.
Okay.
Then when Brock's gone, Roman Reigns comes back as a Heyman guy.
Hmm. I don't even know if Heyman could save that with the crowd. That'd be a hell of a test, though. Hell of a test. A guy the crowd loves that much, talking to them about something they don't love that much. I think they might see that as something being forced down their throat.
Oh, man.
I don't know what you do with Roman Reigns to make the crowd understand.
Part is neither do they.
Yeah, no, right. Yeah. Nobody knows. I think if we had Hunter in here right now, Hunter, Stephanie, and Vince, I don't know that any of them could tell us the answer to the question.
And maybe that's why they had him put away.
Maybe.
To figure it out.
Maybe. Maybe to figure time kind of heals that wound.
Yeah, hopefully
somehow.
They don't pull an Emelina thing and talk about him and he makes this big change and then he comes back and it doesn't really work and they put him back there and they don't know what to, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't understand that one either. That shouldn't happen.
Oh, good Lord. Anything else? Oh, the return of Tamina Snuka?
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, she's back on. She's back now. She's on SmackDown.
She's
now.
On SmackDown. Okay, mm-hmm. That's why I didn't see it.
Sami Zayn, a guy I really don't care about.
What did they end up doing with him?
They moved him to SmackDown.
Moved him to SmackDown. Okay.
And
I like the song.
That's the only thing I like about him is the song.
And that little ska music. Is
yeah,
that's the ska punk thing.
I know, like he's like what do they call him, the King of the Underground or whatever, right. And he was the NXT champion, but I don't get it.
The fans like him.
Yeah.
Pretty good worker, right?
Lifelong mid-carder.
Yeah, right. I don't know that he can ever. He's never gonna really carry anything.
Future
hard worker though.
Future Dolph Ziggler.
Okay.
He might get a championship run at one point as a transitional guy.
He's a hard working guy. You could definitely put a mid belt on him every once in a while.
Definitely.
Let him hang out with a US or an IC belt.
Yeah.
Every once in a while. Put him in a elimination chamber every once in a while. Maybe.
Ladder match. Yeah.
Ladder match.
He's a good
like
worker,
that.
But I just like Apollo Crews. Great athlete.
God, he's impressive. Great wrestler, looking, isn't he? Jeez. Yeah.
That should be like a six-man tag team with Apollo Crews and American Alpha.
Apollo yeah, Crews put
just
together,
just gives
you
time to go to the bathroom.
He's incredible. Incredibly well put together, but yeah, I don't know what to do with him.
I hope somehow he gets a mouthpiece. Maybe he could be a mini Heyman guy.
Maybe.
I think that's my solution to everything right about now.
Let Paul Heyman,
do it,
solve the problem.
Lord, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, and before we get out of here, just a little quick bit of MMA news before we get into the weekend. Nate Diaz had his fine from UFC 202, the water bottle and monster throwing incident.
Yes.
Reduced from $50,000 and 50 hours of community service to 15 and 15.
So now they've reduced him and Connor.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's good.
Good.
Maybe we'll see him back soon. Maybe he'll actually pay it off so we can actually see him come back soon.
Yeah, maybe we'll see Connor fight somebody before the end of this year. Who knows?
I have the patience to get into that garbage again.
Yeah.
Man, if it ever happens, I'll be shocked.
The Mayweather fight?
Yeah.
I will too, and if it doesn't happen, I just hope if it doesn't, they can move on quickly and get to another division of the UFC that frustrates me. I already mentioned 205 and 185. Mm-hmm. I hate what they're doing at 155. It's being held hostage because of Connor. And you got
the second time he's done that. Yeah.
And you got a guy, you know, you got Eddie Alvarez, who he beat, who he hasn't had to fight again. I believe that's is Yair Rodriguez 155? He's a 145.
Yeah.
So he's gonna and 145. They're actually it's coming together with the Holloway and Aldo fight.
Finally, yeah.
I like that. But at 155, you got a couple guys that I think deserve chances that aren't getting it. And you mentioned Romero earlier at 185, along with I think it's Sousa at 185.
Yeah,
they're both not getting their love, and I don't like the fact that you got all these guys. Well, 155 is where we still have the confusion of Ferguson and Nurmagomedov.
Yeah, exactly. We came this close to having at least an interim title, I was against beforehand until I found out that Conor was just going to hold up the division again until he fought Mayweather.
And that goes away, so I don't know. Have they rescheduled that fight?
Not yet.
Not yet? That was such a shame. I really was looking forward to that fight.
Really?
But, I don't love the 155 thing. If they're going to do it, if they're going to do the Mayweather thing, man, get it out of the way this summer and let's move on.
They're looking at, it'll probably be like September.
Yeah, you're right.
Mayweather always fights on Mexican holidays. Either Cinco de Mayo weekend or Dia de Reyes weekend.
Yeah.
So that's what they're looking at.
This year they've got the Canelo-Chavez fight.
Yeah, Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo weekend.
Yeah.
Plus, Conor's baby's coming in May.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's going to make a decision until after that. So you're right. It would have to be like a August-September fight.
Yeah.
Something like that.
So just dragging it out again.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, don't move a muscle. Well, obviously, so this is in your ear right now, so you're not going anywhere. We'll be right back, and we'll preview the weekend and get out of here. You're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn. The champ is here this week. UFC on Fox number 24. Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson goes to tie the record of the greatest of all time, Anderson Silva, with 10 UFC title defenses. 10 defenses.
That's a lot.
That's a lot in UFC.
I've grown to be really impressed with him. I don't know why they feel like he still can't hold up a pay-per-view. I kind of wish he'd been on this last card. You know, at least as a co-main, put him in the co-main. If you don't feel like he can hold it himself,
this way you get to put a title fight on Fox,
right?
And you don't really lose any pay-per-view buys by not having him.
I guess so.
But yeah, he really wouldn't have brought much to the pay-per-view, and in terms of money. So hey, Fox, here's a shiny belt that we get to give out.
Right. It's a weird thing that he can't draw a pay-per-view, because I'm fascinated every time he fights. He's so impressive. He keeps getting better. He keeps adding things. You know, he wins different ways.
Yeah, and when he's fighting, I don't think about him being small.
No, not at all.
You know, he's the same size as the guy that crossed from him. And they're just fighting. Yeah, it's just a fight.
Right.
I get it.
Nah, he's really, really good. I hope he gets it. I hope he gets that 10 in a row. That'd be really cool to match a number like that, that I'm sure, you know, most UFC fans were thinking that's a number that might stand forever.
Yeah.
You know, and nobody would hit 10, especially when GSP didn't get 10. You know, if anybody was going to do it, it was going to be GSP. And now the idea that Mighty Mouse could do it is big time.
And pretty much as long as he doesn't end up on the ground with Wilson Hayes or underneath him, it's probably his fight to lose.
I'm not sure if I've ever seen Hayes fight. When I saw the name, it didn't ring a bell.
Yeah. You're not going to think much when you hear his name. Mm. But you look at him and you go, oh, yeah, he's a little fire hydrant.
Is he a wrestler? Is that what he wants to do?
Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Okay.
The Hayes is, you know, it's an R.
Right.
The Portuguese R is an H.
Right.
Yeah. He's dangerous on the ground. On the feet, no one can keep... I can edit that out.
Yeah,
no one can keep up with Mighty Mouse.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing. He's so fast. He's so quick. It doesn't feel like he's losing anything. It doesn't feel like, you know, you haven't gotten to that moment where you feel like, yeah, Mighty Mouse. He's starting to show a little something. He's starting to show a little whatever. Yeah, he's impressive. And I also like the that Rose Namajunas.
Oh, man.
Karate Hottie fight.
That one, that's going to be a barn burner.
That's one I think they could have backed up and put on 210. That could have made that card more interesting.
You will almost guaranteed see every time they have a UFC on Fox, on Big Fox, you will see the women. And you will see the top women. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not only just Paige VanZant being on Dancing with the Stars. That brought in a lot of people.
Sure.
And so they've been really playing up Michelle Waterson in the last few months.
Michelle's good.
And she had a Fight Mom or something like that? Based on her, following her around in her journey as a fighter and a mom.
So the winner of that fight, is the winner of that fight going to set up to fight the winner of the Joanna fight in May?
Well, let's see. Rose is number 4. Michelle's number 6.
Yeah, maybe not.
Joanna's fighting Jessica Andrade here.
Who's the 3?
Jessica Andrade. Carolina Kovalkiewicz is number 2, and she's the one that Joanna just beat.
Yeah, they may have to rematch
that one. She beat Gadelha already again for the second time, so it'll be a while before Claudia can fight again, or at least fight for the belt.
They could rematch. I think they need to, if they're going to rematch her, they rematch her with the other Polish fighter, because I thought that fight was interesting.
That was good. But yeah, the winner of this one will probably get the next shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see that Dallas group.
Oh, man, I've already got my credential request in.
Are you heading up there?
Hopefully.
Cool. Yeah, the heavyweight thing and Joanna in the same night, plus the Yair Rodriguez Frankie Edgar fight.
Oh man,
really interesting fight. Last time Yair Rodriguez fought, I knew for sure he was going to win and win impressively. I don't know who thought that BJ Penn could actually hang out with him.
Such a bad idea.
But the question is now, can this new Frankie Edgar hang out with him? Can Frankie fight the kind of fight he needs to to keep Yair close? Or does Yair stand out there and just those long legs and the punches and everything he can do? I'm a Frankie Edgar fan, and I'm concerned for Frankie in this fight. I don't know. I'm not sure if this is a good matchup for Frankie.
I can't wait to see that fight. Yair's fought the kind of wrestler Frankie can be.
Right.
So that's what makes it such a great matchup.
Good style fight. Good style fight. Yeah, that's
really old versus young.
That coming up in May is nice.
Yeah. But yeah, so this one. Rose versus Michelle. Michelle's been one of my favorites for a long time, and I'm not saying it's just because she's hot.
It doesn't hurt.
But she did win, like, right after I started following her. She won the Invicta Atomweight title at 105.
I like both of them, because I watched the Ultimate Fighter season, and Rose's story is interesting to me. She's overcome a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
I love just that kind of raw attitude that she's got.
Yeah, and when they said, Dana White said, he's probably going to find the next Ronda Rousey, that's what he was talking about. He was talking about Rose with, I guess, her attitude, what she's been through, her skill.
Right.
How much can people, like, kind of fall for her.
Right. She's tough. Yeah, she's tough. Yeah, she's easy to root for.
But she's kind of fallen kind of behind on the hype train lately.
Yeah.
Haven't heard much from her.
Right. Ever since, I guess the last big thing for her was beating Paige.
Yeah.
That was the last big moment for her.
Now, ironically, these two, the last one for both of these was beating Paige.
Yes. This is the meeting of the We Beat Paige Van Zandt Club.
So the next one. gets a title shot, most likely.
Yeah, might be.
And let's see, a little further down. Oh, well, the next fight down, Jacare Souza against Robert Whittaker.
Oh, that's right. I forgot Souza's fighting again.
Yeah. He didn't have to take this fight. He's basically, I would guess you'd say second in line, arguably first in line for the belt.
Yeah, who knows?
But who knows how long that'll be.
Yeah.
When's GSP going to fight Bisping?
I have no idea.
He wants it to be September. Bisping and the UFC want to be in July, International Fight Week, which would be the biggest thing they could put together.
I can't believe they're letting GSP back. That's just nuts.
I can't believe after all this time and he's saying, oh, I want to move up to middleweight, but I'm going to have to take some time and put on some weight. They offered him this fight back in November, and he was going to take it.
Silly.
But now all of a sudden he needs to put on more weight, and he wants it to go until like September.
To put on 15 pounds from where he was with the cloud.
And he's basically the size of Michael Bisping. He's so, there's negligible difference between the two.
And the cloud of suspicion he left under, I just don't understand any of that at all. But I like the fact that Sousa's going to fight. He's just a guy that some people are fighters, some people love to fight. I sense that he loves to fight. So
yeah.
I like the fact that he's going to get back in there.
And then you look at the prelims, which are still going to be on Fox, so I don't even know why they're considered prelims. It's all on the same channel.
So it's going to keep flowing. Fox to Fox.
Yeah. Big Country's back.
Really?
Roy Nelson versus Alexander Volkov, former Bellator champ.
All right.
So that'll be a good one. That's headlining the prelims.
Show me something, Roy.
You can headline the prelims on the same channel, and you don't have to turn. So I don't know.
I keep asking myself every time I watch Roy Nelson fight, why am I watching Roy Nelson fight? So, Roy, give me a reason to watch you fight.
Let me see you rub that belly.
Please. Exactly. Get up on top of that cage and rub the belly for a reason.
Yeah. Also on the prelims, Bobby Green versus Rashid Magomedov. And you almost never want to bet against anyone with a last name that sounds anything close to Magomedov. Yeah, Tim Elliott versus Luis Smolka, flyweights. And then on Fight Pass, Aljamain Sterling versus Augusto Mendez. Sterling, I had picked a couple years ago to end last year with the bantamweight title. Just kind of a little bit of a skid. Another one of Matt Serra's boys from Long Island. Hopefully he can pick it back up. But he's fighting, as Jordan would say, someone that doesn't even have a Wikipedia page.
Oh, I got you. So everything's Big Fox.
Well, the first five are on Fight Pass. So you got Ashley Evans-Smith versus Caitlin Vieira. Zach Cummings versus Nathan Coy. Anthony Smith versus Andrew Sanchez. Devin Clark versus Jake Collier. And then the Fight Pass portion is headlined by Aljamain Sterling versus Augusto Mendez.
I got you. Yeah, Dana hadn't gotten that part of my money yet. So then Big Fox is both prelim and main card.
Eight fights.
Okay.
Let's see. Two flyweights. Yeah, bookended by flyweight fights. You got a lightweight, a bantamweight, a heavyweight in the middle, featherweight, middleweight, strawweight. Flyweight again.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
So it's going to be a pretty good card.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Decent card.
Bobby Green versus Magomedov. I have no idea how that's going to go. No clue.
Yeah, I don't know. Although, something tells me to pick the guy that's not Bobby Green. I remember watching Bobby Green fight once and just didn't impress me.
Yeah. And like I said, picking against Russians, always bad news.
Yeah, right. I'll lean Russia there.
Yeah. Patrick Williams versus Tom Duke. I don't even know. I'm going to mess with that one. I'm not sure why that's on Fox at all.
Not going to work here anymore, that's all I know.
Dicewood. Yeah. Let's see. And then Jeremy Stevens versus Renato Moicano.
Oh, Stevens is on the card. I didn't know
Little
that.
Little heathen.
Yeah. Okay. I like Jeremy.
He's, I guess, kicking off the main card on Fox.
Okay.
So you'll see him after Nelson and Volkov.
That is good. God, I might enjoy this card a lot better than 210 when it's all said and done.
It's possible.
Wow.
But there won't be shenanigans.
There will not be shenanigans.
Well, you know, you say that now.
Naked towel tricks. If we don't get naked towel tricks.
And if there are, can they be Michelle Waterson or Ashley Evans-Smith, please?
Right. Yeah. If somebody's going to weigh in like that, can it be the karate hottie,
exactly.
Please?
And then, let's not forget there's a Bellator this weekend, too.
Ah.
They're going to have the Bantamweight Championship. Champion Eduardo Dantas versus Leandro Higo. So that'll be on Spike. So
is that a good fight? Do I need to watch that?
You should watch that one.
I should watch the fight. The main fight.
I always say watch the prelims, and I watch Bellator, and sometimes there's some really good stuff on there.
Okay.
Last weekend, they had after the Bellator event in Italy, they had a Bellator kickboxing event, which I missed it, but there was another great head kick knockout. And then the flyweight champ, her name is... Oh, she's so cute, a little Dutch girl.
Okay.
And I just lost her name. Denise Kielholz.
Okay.
Miss Dynamite.
Yeah.
Won by decision, hangs onto her belt. He's so cute.
Over the last couple years, over the last few years, I've probably become a bit of a UFC snob. Mm-hmm. So when Bellator's on, sometimes I peek in, sometimes I don't. I gotta hear a name I recognize or something like that.
Yeah. Luckily, depending on the DVR that you have, it just always says Bellator MMA.
Mm-hmm.
So my DVR is always set to record Bellator MMA when it's new.
Just
so even if I forget that it's on, like, oh, that was in the middle of the day on Saturday. Oh, I got it recorded.
Oh, I should try that.
Yeah. Okay. Now the UFC, they always have like the numbers, the names, so you can't like set the series to watch, to record.
It's a good idea though.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay.
And
accidentally record it. And
yeah,
then it's just
it
there.
Happens. And then you're like, oh man, I forgot about this. Oh, they got this guy. That's right. I like that guy. He's badass.
All right. Okay.
I forgot about that.
All right.
Yeah.
That's a good plan.
Yeah. So speaking of badasses, before we get out of here,
yes,
remind us what we've got on tap on the horn for Easter weekend.
We've got the Texas Spring Game coming up Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock, 12:45 pregame, 1 o'clock on the horn. And Craig Way, Roger Wallace, Quan Cosby will call the action for you. See what Tom Herman's group looks like in the Spring Game. And if you want to get out there to DKR, again, 1 o'clock is the kickoff time. Free to the public. Get on out there and, you know, enjoy some spring football.
Hey, I'll be there.
Hey, there you go. And then you get to do whatever you need to do on Easter Sunday. That's on Saturday at 1, so you get everything out of the way for Easter.
Is it sad that I've been recording a bunch of spring games?
No, it's not sad. I'm about to go home and watch one myself.
There you go.
Don't feel bad.
The Aggies are 1-0.
That's right. That's right. Thankfully, they're not counting the spring game, but the way this season may go, I might need to count it by the end.
All right. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends to subscribe.
Happy trails to you. Till we meet again.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.